Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 17, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For February 5th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Potatoes O'Brien, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right, it's me, Miles Gray, aka the Dark One, aka Darth Grader. You heard it. And that comes from at Triz on Twitter. Thank you for that one.
And we are thrilled to be joined by one of our favorites, one of your favorites, Jamie Loftus.
Hi. Beep, beep, beep.
Oh, beep, beep, beep.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, there it is. Feels good. Feels good. Feels right.
That is your AKA, right?
That pew, pew, pew. Yeah, Jamie Loftus, AKA Pew, Pew, Pew.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah,
Pew Research Report.
Yeah.
Jamie, for our new listeners, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Okay, I had a rough week for my brain remembering what to call things, so...
That's an interesting way to describe it.
It's so hard when you don't know what word you're looking for. It's so hard to try to find what it is. So, late last week, I had to Google the phrase President Face Mountain
to remember what Mount Rushmore was.
And then this weekend, I didn't post this because I was too ashamed. I forgot the word for pan, so I googled deep plate, and it's the first thing that comes up.
Is it? When you're thinking of a pan, you mean like to bake something or like a cooking pan?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
You Google deep plate.
I think it'd be like metal cooking circle.
I was gonna say shallow pot. Deep plate probably reveals something
hashtag
about
deep
who
state,
we are.
Deep state.
Yeah, there's something. There's like a glass empty, a glass half full. I don't know who loses. And then I looked up Meatloaf JFK murder, which I do every once in a while because he was there.
Meatloaf was at.
Yeah, he was like 14 years old, and he lived
in
Dallas.
Whoa,
yeah.
14 is old enough to take a shot.
Yeah,
I'm yeah,
saying.
Yeah.
One of the bills, either Bill Pullman or Paxton.
Was there
also, like, on his dad's shoulders, like...
Whoa!
And he was, like, 22. No, I'm just...
What?
He was, like...
he was 22 and aiming.
Yeah.
No, he was, like, a 4 or 5-year-old kid.
Whoa.
Damn.
Yeah. So...
So I guess we've solved the mystery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we solved the mystery.
Meatloaf and one of the bills.
Yep.
Or at least they asked him to. That's what I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. I will not assassinate the president.
I mean, it's never been a more appealing idea than now.
We're not calling for it. We're just saying.
We're just saying.
If we had
to pick one.
What is something you think is... By the way, President Face Mountain is what that should be called.
Yeah. No,
fuck Mount Rushmore. President Face Mountain. Let's go.
I would actually... Face Mountain. I'm hoping if somebody has a name Face Mountain, we can elect them president. Because I would love to have like... And President Face Mountain as here.
Yeah. Now that evokes just a guy whose face is... rocky crag.
Yeah.
With like snow on top. Jamie, what is something that is underrated?
Something underrated, I think, is reading the comments. Everyone always says, don't read the comments. But sometimes I dip my toe into the comments and I get this rush.
Mm-hmm.
I was awake 3 hours earlier than I was expecting to be because I just sat up in a cold sweat because I'd read comments the previous night. And I was like, whoa, I'm fully activated. And I walked for 7 miles. So
just aimlessly?
Underrated. No, I knew where I was going.
Oh, okay. I think it's like, and I walked for 7 miles.
And then I just ended up somewhere.
Yeah. And I was in Pacoima.
That's how we met.
Yeah. That is how we met.
That sounds healthy.
Read the no.
Well, what happened?
Wait,
yeah.
What comments under what?
Okay, so I do a show on Super Deluxe,
right?
And never read the comments. But
on
this
YouTube,
was,
never.
No,
yeah.
But sometimes on Facebook, especially, they're bad. And sometimes it will just like show up in my feed because I like subscribe to the channel from my Facebook.
Right.
So this one just showed up, and then I fell deep into a hot or not debate about me, and it was. I mean, some points were made, some valid points.
Uh-huh.
Some people were nice. Some people think I should see a dentist. It's like there's a lot going on.
Jesus Christ.
And I normally wouldn't dip in, but I did this time. And you know what? I don't regret it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so you interacted or you just read through?
Oh, I love interacting with them. Yeah. I'm just like, thank you, valid point. If anyone wants to give me dental insurance, that'd be fucking tight.
Yeah,
like,
right.
If there's any dentists in the comments, in
right?
The Los
like,
Angeles
is this an
area,
ad for your dental practice?
Yeah. If so, very hurtful. But like, I will show up. So yeah, reading the comments underrated.
I would say never to read the comments, just based on my own experience.
It is a horrifying experience.
My most popular video on YouTube. So the more popular a piece of content or whatever gets, the more likely it is to reach an audience that is not your audience, basically.
The audience that doesn't think you're hot?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I had a video very early on the show I used to do, The Spit Take, where it was a good premise, you know, just videos of celebrities while they were unmistakably high or drunk. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun, but you know, my performance wasn't great. It was like the fifth video I'd ever done. And the comments were so mean. It was like I think that one of the top comments was, "I just want to punch you in the fucking throat, bro."
Oh my God.
And everyone was like, "Yep. Yes,
yeah, thumbs that was up the top to that. Comment.
It's a debasing experience being on the internet.
It
more
is.
Than being a frequent podcast guest.
Oh, that's true. It's worse. It's definitely for sure worse. And then it's weird because you'll see comments about your friends sometimes, and it's like, wow, now I know this mean thing someone thought about you. Do you know? I can't tell you.
Yeah. And I can't bring it up without looking just shady.
No, right.
Like, can you believe what someone said about you?
Right. Yeah. I'm like, people say that. You got Cheeto fingers. Like, it's like they're...
Cheeto fingers?
Yeah. I cannot discuss it further. I cannot discuss
it
further.
So you the yellow if you're like, have...
Oh, like they're knobby, oh, like a...
I don't...
Oh, yeah.
Don't
Jamie's
know
one friend. Remember they have Cheetos for fingers?
Yeah.
Just like actual Cheetos?
I feel like I'm like calling them out now. My friend who has Cheetos for fingers.
We call her Chris Cheeto.
They are delicious, though.
God bless her.
I have seen
God bless her Cheeto fingers.
I have seen people like any creative people who are out there. I would recommend not reading the comments as much as possible. I've seen talented writers kind of lose their way at least temporarily because of comments, because it like, you know, that voice gets in their head and then they like open their next column arguing with a voice in their head that represents the comments for like a page. And it's just like,
it's just a terrible way to live. You want to live from your inside and exude outwardly. You don't want external things to begin affecting you internally. And I think you begin to betray yourself. Cause if you live by the comments and you get gassed up when people big you up, you're like, "Ooh, yes, I'm feeling good." You will also die just as bad from the bad comments.
Yeah. You got your hot days and your not days.
Just believe in yourself.
There. Yeah. Well, I would clarify reading the comments. I wouldn't do it on purpose, but if you come across them by accident when you're just innocently scrolling through your own damn feed, I was literally looking for people who were sad that the Patriots lost to make myself feel good, because I like when people from my home state are upset. And then instant karma came across the hot or not discussion.
See?
So when you see it, make the best of it.
Make the best of it.
You found one of us, by the way. I am a Patriots fan. Self-loathing one.
Really?
So, yeah. audible yawn. Jamie, what is something that is overrated?
Oh, well, this ties into stuff we'll talk about today, but separating art from the artist is so fucking overrated. Mm. We cannot do it in 2018. It's not allowed.
Is that even like overrated or just like, that is expired or that is an extinct way of thinking, right?
Maybe that should have been my myth. Yeah, it's garbage. It's bad. I had a good friend with a bad take on it weekend, and we kind of got into the weeds with
who
it.
Who was the artist?
What if it was Cheeto fingers? The artist formerly known as
Cheeto fingers.
The artist, we were talking about Tarantino.
We'll talk about it. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
All right. We're trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking about right now. That is what zeitgeist means, basically. And we like to open up by asking our guests, what's a myth? What's something that people think is true that is not?
Sort of hearkening back to why I was on Facebook last night in the first place, I would bust the myth. If anyone thinks that it is even remotely sad when people from Massachusetts are upset about something, I would like to bust that myth right now. It is so funny. I read all of my uncle's responses to the Patriots losing last night.
Was it like, did he feel it was an injustice or he was just...
No, they were doing this like New England thing where they're all supposed to be so fucking alpha, and they went for like my uncle, who's a con artist, so I don't care. Which is another fun thing about being from New England. Lots of your relatives are gonna be con artists. They're gonna be stealing Ford cars. You're not gonna know what to do. So this is what he said. He took a somber tone. He said, "Man, my guys, I know everyone's sad tonight, but think of the guys." He's talking about the New England Patriots.
The players. Okay.
"But think of the guys and their families. Fuck. Don't be reckless tonight, everyone. The guys wouldn't want that." End of post.
Wow.
Steals Ford cars on disability, not disabled.
Wow.
Icon.
Okay.
An icon.
Yeah. Massachusetts icon.
Rules.
Don't be reckless tonight.
Don't be reckless.
Yeah, don't
the guys don't want that.
Think of the guys.
The guys don't want you to steal a Ford car tonight.
They wouldn't want that. Don't honor them like that.
Don't fucking do it. People in Philly are eating horse dung.
Right.
Hey, but that's how you celebrate. Anyway, well, that's a whole other.
We'll get to that. But yeah. I was thinking, like, I kept expecting when people were like showing the Philly celebrations to like someone to turn the camera and Gronk would just be there like celebrating too.
With
like
them?
Just got swept up in it. It's too dumb to realize that like they're celebrating that his team just lost. Anyways, we gotta get into the news, you guys, because there is some very, very important news, especially for you, Jamie.
For me?
Yeah, because Doritos has made an announcement that
news directed at me directly.
Yeah, that they're going to be making non-crunchy Doritos for women.
For
folk.
Women.
Yeah.
Wait, Doritos
finally.
For a gal like me?
Yeah. Finally you can.
I've never been able to touch the thing.
I know. I remember the one time you bit an edge of a Dorito. You got a concussion from the crunch. It was so
sick.
Intense.
Yeah. It was too much.
Yeah, the guy Indra Nooyi, who is the CEO of Frito-Lay, or PepsiCo, who's the parent company of Frito-Lay, he was on like Freakonomics Radio, and he was basically saying like, yeah, they're looking into making special chips just for women. Now, my question is, if like a Doritos is crunch-free, isn't that just a fucking tortilla?
I wouldn't know. I've never been able to have one.
Well, just listen to this. This is what he said when talking about the situation. He said, quote, "As you watch a lot of the young guys eat the chips, they love their Doritos, and they lick their fingers with great glee. And when they reach the bottom of the bag, they pour the little broken pieces into their mouth."
This is pornographic.
Because they don't want to lose that taste of the flavor and the broken chips in the bottom.
Is he jerking off while he says this?
This is actually a woman.
This, okay.
Actually, I just realized that now I'm saying this.
Is she flicking her bean as this happens?
Well,
she's
now,
like, "I wish I could do this, but I'm just not genetically able to."
Now, this is that she goes on. And I'm sorry, at the beginning I said it was a man. This is a woman. She says, "Women, I think, would love to do the same, but they don't. They don't like to crunch too loudly in public, and they don't lick their fingers generously, and they don't like to pour the little broken pieces and the flavor into
fingers.
Their mouth." Yeah.
Cheeto fingers, a woman.
You know what's funny? My girlfriend eats hot Cheetos with chopsticks.
Whoa.
Hot Cheetos with chopsticks.
Oh, like, because she didn't want to get the Cheeto dust on her fingers.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
That's actually brilliant.
I know. I was like, I kind of was like, what the fuck? Really? Yeah. I thought she was doing a bit to offend me because she's like, "This is how you eat Cheetos?" And I was like, no. But then I was like, then I thought about it. I was like, yeah, yeah.
Like you, Miles.
Yeah.
Just like you.
Chopsticks Cheetos. But yeah, I mean, look. Are her crunchy chips that offensive?
As a woman,
as a woman,
I do have to say that it is absolutely disgusting. I think that the Dorito should be reverse engineered to be less dusty because, if you've ever dated someone who is, if you're like me and you date primarily magicians and drummers, they've always got Dorito dust on their fingers and you're gonna get a UTI and it's too bad.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's not good. I've gotten a Dorito dust UTI and I have to just openly identify as having done that. Not in a long time. I did just get a message on Facebook from one of the people who sent a rather scathing comment.
This is late
literally
breaking news.
Just now, 12:01 p.m. Stephen Swole Sauce Zaslow.
Mm-hmm.
He works at a gym.
Swole Sauce works at a gym?
Yeah, I mean, he's great at branding. He said, Jez wanted to be funny. Sorry about comment, sad face.
Oh, wow. Swole Sauce.
Wow, redemption for Swole Sauce.
Yes. Uh-oh. Now be like, hey, do you eat Cheetos?
I'm going to answer like, hey, Venmo me
$50. You should.
Yeah, I want to get his gym money.
Yeah.
All right.
People, by the way, I've seen that defense of meanness on the internet a lot. People think that being mean is just funny. Like, they're like, sorry, it was a joke. It was like, that's not a joke when you're just mean.
Being a dick.
That's why I do respond to it sometimes, because people are literally horrified that someone might actually see something horrible that they wrote, and they'll immediately backtrack.
Right.
They're never going to double down and be like, no, I fucking hate your face.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
They're like,
fuck you, Cheeto teeth.
That's when you hear from people like my new boyfriend, Steven Swole Sauce Zaslow.
I thought you were dating Scam Likely.
Okay, Scam and I are,
I see that pop up on your phone constantly.
Yeah, I mean, he won't leave me. Like, Scam needs to learn to, like, give me space. He's always calling me from different states.
Now, is this Scamuel or Scamron?
Scamron, likely.
Oh, okay.
I've met Scamuel. I do not care for him. Yeah. Scamron has a soft side, but he's extremely sus, and he's always just, like, you know, he's always just, he's a lot.
Yeah, I get it.
He's a lot. He always wants to meet me in various Home Depot parking lots. He says my credit's bad. He's emotionally abusive.
Oh, no.
Scamron.
You need to quit him.
I just need Scamron to, like, get it together. Because I will say, he is not a Dorito Dust boy. Shout out to all my Dorito Dust boys.
Dorito Dust boys only.
Shout out to all my Dorito Dust boys. Hang in there.
Yeah. This is good news. Chewy Doritos, so women eat them, not, you know, hovering above a fainting couch.
Now women can give men revenge UTIs.
Right. Yeah.
There's going to be, new short film. Look forward to it.
Revenge UTI.
But we want to move on to a Benghazi update that we were teasing earlier. So Uma Thurman spoke out this weekend, and Jamie, you read the article. You can tell us what she talked about.
She talked about two things. One was, because she, back in November.
Yeah, they asked her, right? About.
Yeah, they asked her about it, and she just basically said, I'm really upset, and just, like, made it clear she needed time to process stuff. Did an Instagram post where she was basically like, happy Thanksgiving to everyone but Harvey Weinstein, and then said something about a bullet, which was great. Mm. And then so she just spoke to a New York Times writer in the past week or so, and did speak about being harassed and assaulted by Harvey Weinstein, which is unfortunately a story we've heard a lot of times. But she also spoke about Quentin Tarantino and how he was not sexually abusive towards her, but certainly very abusive towards her on the set of Kill Bill.
Right.
Which is around the same time where it sounds like their friendship started to splinter because of Harvey Weinstein. And Quentin Tarantino being extremely complicit in what he clearly knew Harvey Weinstein was doing, had sort of coerced Uma into getting into a very unsafe prop car in Kill Bill. You can see the video online. It's horrible.
Horrifying.
It's wild.
She gets into like a pretty bad wreck and got pretty hurt, that was one of my favorite movies. And I remember like I had a behind the scenes book about that movie and there's no mention of it.
Of course.
It's totally right.
He coerced me to ride in a rickety car with a loose seat.
Right.
A car I wasn't comfortable driving and made me do that shit.
And he also like choked her I'm pretty sure that's the last time that they worked together, if I'm remembering correctly. I don't think she's been in a Tarantino movie since, and certainly hasn't been in a Harvey Weinstein joint. So it was very upsetting stuff, but sort of a conclusion to what she had been talking about late last year.
Did she mention something about sort of feeling guilty about that she didn't really speak out? Like I thought I'd read something to that effect too, that she kind of was kind of beating herself up about that.
Yes. So I can relate with that. Like if you've ever been in a community where there is like a known predator, which there are in unfortunately almost every community, that when someone finally calls them out, you know, there's that thing in the back of your head where you're like, I could have done that.
And, yeah, because she, like, told him, like, I think after, like, if you do this, like, you're going to ruin your career, you're going to ruin your reputation.
Right.
And then...
And you have to believe that's true, but he got away with it for...
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, it's wild because
Tarantino told her that? Tarantino was
No. She was saying that to Harvey Weinstein, I think. Yeah. Right? Yeah. After he assaulted her.
Jesus. And he's like, well, there's no, you know, he didn't say that, but like, there's no evidence in history that is actually true.
Cause he really, cause it's weird to think, like, in Kill Bill, like, where she's getting choked when Gogo Yubari has that little chain spike ball and, like, gets it around her neck and is choking her. You're like, yo, she looks like she is getting fucking strangled.
Choked. Yeah.
And then to know that was actually him off camera yanking that chain or spitting in her face when Michael Madsen's character was doing that.
And this kind of goes back to the artist thing, where obviously creative license exists, but it's like, a director who's famous for gratuitous violence, often against women, might actually behave that way. Like, not entirely shocking.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole, I don't necessarily agree that Uma Thurman should feel guilty about anything, but I think she vocalized a very common thought.
Sentiment.
Yes.
No, absolutely.
I'm sure something that like ultimately keeps people silent is, you know, they start immediately feeling guilty that they haven't said something already, and then
it
becomes a shame thing as opposed to a thing where you're outraged about being victimized.
Right. And especially because, I mean, with Harvey Weinstein in particular, it's like, I'm sure that no matter who you are, it happened to more people than you ever would have imagined.
Right.
You know?
But she didn't know that, you know?
Right, exactly.
Like, yeah, victims should never feel like it's their fault.
Absolutely not. And it shouldn't be on victims to, like, have to rehabilitate their own communities. I feel super strong about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do, like, appreciate that she vocalized that, because I'm sure that, like, connected with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Tarantino thing is such a bummer and so...
Yeah,
he's disappointing.
He's like Mr. Rape Revenge Fantasy, too.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's like a big part of all of his films.
I knew that the hands choking Bridget von Hammer's mark in Inglourious Basterds were his, that he was like, you know, the actors couldn't quite get it right, so he choked her. And like, that's another scene where like you see,
like,
the shot and you're like, holy shit.
Choking
and
the shit.
Her eyes are like watering and popping out of her head.
I mean, so many male auteurs, like, I was I rewatched like some behind the scenes footage from The Shining not too long ago, and it's like the way Stanley Kubrick would talk to Shelley Duvall is, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, he doesn't treat anybody else like that, and it's, you know, under the guise of, well, I abuse you to get this result or this performance.
Right.
And it's just
go do your psychological experiments somewhere else.
Right.
You know, that's how I get the reaction.
Jail.
Right.
You're
the other perspective would be that they built their career so that they could mistreat women, like, at work publicly.
And get trophies for it.
Right, exactly.
And
I mean, with Tarantino, now we have two separate examples where he on camera choked a woman, like... And he's the one writing and directing it. It's like, all right.
But. Well, you know, he's just like his feet thing. He gets his feet shots in, chokes a few actors out. Like, he's just acting out his weird kinks, I guess, or just his abusive mentality.
Yeah.
On a slightly positive note, Trump victim Rachel Crooks is running for Ohio State legislator.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, yeah, in a rural district currently held by a Republican that voted for Trump. But, you know, it also voted for Obama in 2008 and 2012. So we shall see.
All right, Rachel.
But hopefully we get a actual real world revenge story there. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. The Super Bowl was yesterday. And
hey, you had a good party. You had a good
party. Did. We had a good party over at my house.
I'm sorry,
it was a lot of fun.
The Zeit Cave.
Whatever, Jamie.
We were recording.
Go
swear.
Do your Bechdel cast.
We did.
Whatever.
We did.
Oh, I was recording.
It's
no, you were missed, but it was a lot of fun. And another good game. I feel like there's been a pretty great run of Super Bowls for the past, I don't know, handful of years. Or Super Bowls with that feature the Patriots have been really good games the past three times. But they lost this time, as I knew they would. Nick Foles was great and won't be the starting quarterback for the Eagles next year. And there are rumors that this would be the last year of the Patriots dynasty. So think of the boys, guys.
Think of the fucking guys.
Don't be reckless tonight, guys. They don't want that.
The guys wouldn't want that.
But yeah, the rumor is that Belichick might leave because Brady made them trade away Jimmy Garoppolo. Not Janine Garofalo, as I just wanted to say.
Oh, that got a bigger laugh than it deserved. I really liked it.
Someone photoshopped that.
Yeah, but also they could make Tom happy. So we'll see about that. Ratings were down. I know people who skipped it because they didn't want to watch a sport that is, you know, complicit in giving people CTE. And then I know of a bunch of people who skipped it because they feel like, you know, NFL players were disrespecting the troops.
And then you have people who don't watch it because they feel like the NFL is disrespecting those people's right to protest.
Right. Exactly.
That sounds like a little conflicting because, like, I just don't generally care about the NFL. And, like, this year kind of made solidified why I don't really watch.
Right.
So I don't know. It's like it was hard to kick the tradition of doing something on Super Bowl Sunday. I think that's what I found myself in that place.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to create a new tradition. Well, on Super Bowl Sunday, everybody gets together and just watches, you know, The Simpsons or something.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be
fun. And you can still eat and drink or whatever, but just don't watch the fucking Super Bowl.
Just don't watch the Super Bowl. Yeah. I had a great time. My co-host Caitlin and I went to a cantina last night. Ooh. Totally empty. We got like half-price margaritas because no one was there. And they were just like, oh, did you watch the game? We're like, nope. They're like, are you 18? And we're like,
what?
Yes. And then we got half-price margarita.
Because you were 18?
No. Well, Caitlin was like, I'm 31. I was like, I'm 18.
All right. Half price for you, not the old lady.
But yeah, I mean, there was a hit during the game. Cooks, a Patriots receiver, caught a ball and then did like this weird like cartoon character like circle
thing,
and then ran and like got
blindsided.
Yeah, just completely knocked out. And that was a point where everybody, I think, laughed at first because it looked silly, and then we're like, oh wow, he could be dead. Like that's legitimate. Like he did the same sort of hand thing that Uma Thurman does, actually, in that car crash video.
Sort of like a fencing response.
Yeah, where your hand just like kind of goes up because you're so knocked out. You just kind of go back to fetal position.
Brutal.
Yeah, so that was the game. Congratulations to the city of Philadelphia. We'll
Guys,
get it.
Quick update. I did just send Steven Zaslow a request for $50 on the Cash App, and we'll see what he says.
We'll see how swole that bank account is.
I put the caption as making me sad. So let's see if he pays me $50 for making
swole
me sad.
Swole sauce is just like a word for steroids, right?
We are all
sauce. Yeah. Right. I was saying if like, I guess when people add sauce to the end, like, yo, I'm swag, I'm swole sauce or something. Okay. I don't know if that's what he means, or he mixes like steroids with his ragu and eats pasta like that.
All I know is it's time to make Steven Swole Sauce Zaslow's life hell until he gives me $50. That I feel sure of. I'm in like a Kill Bill mood.
Yeah. There you go. Well, let's wait. We'll see. By the end, I have a feeling we'll have some kind of outcome.
Yeah, for sure.
Justin Timberlake was the halftime show. A lot of fun in the room while watching it. Lacey Mosley, crowd
favorite.
She's
having a great time.
Yeah, was having a great time.
Edgar having a great time.
Here. Yeah. Some great
Trees having a great time.
Videos of them dancing on Instagram.
I saw them.
You should check out.
It was very fun in the room because I feel like everyone was like just, you know, having a good time and
Teresa
like there was
good,
music.
Teresa had a good Insta story of one half of the room not loving it and the other half of the room, mainly half. Edgar, loving it.
But yeah, it was, I don't know, apparently there were sound issues, which I couldn't tell in the
room. Watched because afterwards I was like, I don't know if I actually really watched it. I was just kind of like having fun at the time and like there just happened to be Justin Timberlake sound on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then like, yeah, when you watched it back, like the sound was bad and it was actually really underwhelming. Like when you really think about, when you compare to like the halftime show of like Beyonce or like even Katy Perry, we've talked about that one, or Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
This was like really
It was a bummer.
Yeah, it was not funny.
It was a bummer. And I've liked Justin Timberlake. Like, I have nothing against him. I do have things against him, but I liked Future Sex Love Sounds Forever. I don't know.
Yeah, didn't we all?
Are we done? Are we done with him?
I don't know if we're done with him.
We'll never be done with him.
People will never be done with him. But yeah, I mean, look, he still did Janet dirty. I was still pissed that Janet did not pop out and bring balance to the universe and pull his penis out.
Right.
But, you know, there's still time for that. And he still hasn't, you know, addressed that whole thing.
Right.
But
right.
aside from that, the Prince cover or the duet he did was also weird, too, because, like, it's I Would Die For You. Like, you want to have a song with the title Die in it when you're talking about Prince?
Also someone who, like, historically did not like him. Like, why?
Right. Yeah, so I didn't realize they had an actual beef, like, when Prince was alive, that, you know, Prince at an after show performance, like, not an official concert, but, like, just after the Emmys performance or something, or the Grammys performance, was like, by the way, for people saying they're bringing Sexy back, Sexy never left. And Justin Timberlake was like, fuck that. Nobody says Sexy never left about me. And then, like, started...
He's
like,
getting a little swole sauce about it.
Yeah, got real swole sauce about it. And, like, had a lyric in... the song Give It To Me where he was like, now if Sexy never left, then why is everybody on my shit?
Wait,
it?
I remember that.
Don't
was
hate
shit,
on me
it,
just
it.
Because mm-hmm. you didn't come up with it. It.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was about Prince.
That was about Prince.
I didn't realize that.
And then he made fun of Prince being short at the 2007 Golden Globes. Prince won for the Song of the Heart from Happy Feet. And he wasn't at the ceremony. So Timberlake, who was just presenting the award, was like, I guess I'll accept it on his behalf, but, like, ducked down to, like, a tiny stance at the mm-hmm. microphone to be like,
wow,
get
bitch.
It, because Prince is short.
Yo, JT, don't fuck around, bro. You will not win that. You will not – a dead Prince will beat you.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every single time.
Also an alive Prince.
Yeah, exactly. Very but even now, posthumously, you can't win against this man.
Right.
Because the funny thing is, you know, he was saying, like, there might be a hologram and shit, and everyone was like, do not do that.
No.
And – then they just did like a whack ass big sheet or whatever. But it's funny because even like Prince has been on record even when he was alive saying like holographic depictions of dead people is quote demonic.
Right.
So he's like, I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And so I guess the sheet is cool, but it was again.
I mean, the sheet was a reference back to his Prince's halftime show. Do you remember that halftime show where like his silhouette of him just like shredding the guitar was, That was actually one of the great halftime shows.
Yeah.
There was a reference to that in the first concert I ever saw. Obviously, I didn't know at the time, but I saw...
I guess it was Prince.
I saw Cisco open for the Backstreet Boys.
Nice. There you go.
On September 10th, 2001.
Wow.
True story. Boston, Massachusetts. And Cisco did the sheet thing and like paid... you know, homage to Prince for a bunch of, you know, 9-year-old girls.
Right.
Wow. Well,
and
about thongs.
And he sang about thongs to the children,
mm-hmm.
and we loved it. My mom was like, let's get this guy's autograph, which we did.
You did?
Yeah, I got this guy's autograph.
There's nothing more pre-9/11 than a Cisco Backstreet Boys concert.
It's truly the down to the wire on that.
I would, there's no amount of money I would pay to just be in the world in that moment.
Speaking to the white trashiness of it all, to my mom and I, we made signs for the Backstreet Boys, and this is when one of the Backstreet Boys had just gotten out of rehab, and so we made a sign that was just like 3 days sober AJ, and like aww. Held it up, and
nice AJ,
good for AJ. I hope he's still sober. Well. Is he still alive? We don't know.
No clue.
I think he is.
Did Howie have issues too?
No, Howie was the sensitive one.
Oh, he was okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
But maybe he was troubled.
I always get him and Howie mixed up.
Yeah, AJ's the bad boy.
Okay. Howie's alive?
Howie is.
They're
super
all
producer
alive.
Anna Hosnier
just came
has informed us that Howie alive.
Life status update, Howie alive.
AJ? Alive.
Alive.
Sober? We don't know.
So, TBD.
I'll DM him. There. No. Oh, wait. Okay, wait. I've got an update from Swole Sauce.
What, you do?
I do. He's actively engaging this.
He's like negotiating. I'll give you 28.
Oh my God. He is literally trying to negotiate with me. I'll pay you 20 because it was a joke. How did... Are you fucking kidding? I don't negotiate with terrorists. How did they make you sad? I said you're a 7. That's up there, you know.
Wow.
He called me a 7. No, he didn't. Screenshots. I'm gonna up my price now. I'm gonna say $75.
Hit him with a $5,000 request.
Well, I mean, let's be reasonable because I do want his money.
All right.
What do you guys have any? No, women historically don't know how to negotiate. Any tips?
Yeah, we'll handle this.
Just
for
don't
you,
okay. Yeah, hand the phone over, Jamie. Anyway. You got to understand about negotiating.
I'm gonna video chat him and be like, "Excuse me,
are you're you talking with men right
Am
now?
Am I able to do that?
What?
Video chat him.
Oh, like live?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he's at the gym.
You kidding me?
He also Skype him. My producer messaged him as well, and he said that he and his girlfriend broke up a week ago.
Oh.
But the good news is he thinks I'm a 7 out of 10.
Ask him what he rates his ex girlfriend.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Your next response, and then you can start some real shit.
I'm gonna circle back to this negotiation, but first I have a question.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
All right. So while you do that,
okay, yes,
there were some good ads. During the Super Bowl, the NFL touchdown celebration, Dirty Dancing thing with Eli Manning and
OBJ
was pretty good. And there was that Doritos Mountain Dew one that
was fine.
Saw Mountain Dew was involved and my ears perked up.
I mean, isn't there anything funnier than actors rapping?
I know. Can you believe it?
Wow.
It was a one of the hardest verses to rap.
Definitely was.
And he
did it.
Peter
Dinklage is a performer.
Although they can do that with computers now, just like make it look like your mouth is.
Or what you do is you just record the shit at half speed.
Right.
And then you speed it up in post. So it looks like you're doing it in time.
Yeah, and the Amazon Alexa ad with Cardi B.
That was really funny.
Yeah, that was fun.
The one ad that I
enjoy ads.
The one ad I actually stopped like mid bite of food to like watch was when the Han Solo teaser came up. Because up until this point, we didn't know if it fucking existed.
Like suspiciously few.
Yeah, like what like
trailers or teasers.
And it was, I mean, like, I think, like, everyone had an audible gasp when they saw Donald Glover as young Lando Calrissian.
Yeah,
so I was like, there we go. I guess the trailer dropped today. I watched that the first thing when I woke up this morning. We'll see where this goes. I mean, I'm glad that it was, like, vague enough that I can't say definitively, like, I'm not excited or excited.
Right.
But it's Han Solo. It's young Lando. I'm here for it.
I'm personally very anti.
Oh, you're anti Han Solo.
Harrison Ford doesn't do it for me. Don't like him. All of his character. There's a really great video essay by this guy called The Pop Culture Detective, where it just goes basically scales Harrison Ford's career and breaks down how every single Harrison Ford character is extremely predatory and like fucked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Han Solo, Indiana Jones, a lot of surprise kisses, lots of grabbing, lots of
pinning
alpha.
Leia up against the wall and being like,
you
want a
love
bad boy.
Me.
Yeah.
You love me. He's deeply
You just
insecure.
Have to physically convince her that you love her.
I'm hoping
that she loves you.
Maybe the beginning of this shows that he was actually like a sensitive social justice warrior and then the dark side fucked him up or something. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Man, it's not the time for that message.
Who knows? Who knows?
Steven
right?
Swolsaz is literally trying to like get it right now and I'm furious.
What are you
He's
no.
literally trying to get it with a 7, which is like, okay. I said, I'm going to circle back to this negotiation because $20 simply won't cut it. But first I have a question. What was your ex on a scale of 10? He says, dame. That's a good question.
Dame?
Like
D-A-Y-M? D-A-M-E.
Oh.
Like Judy Dench.
Like he can't spell
like
and might be an idiot.
Or Notre right. Dame.
Dame. That's a good question.
Dame,
before I answer.
That's a good question.
Dame.
Maybe he's trying to be respectful.
Good one, Dame.
And then he says, before I answer, where are you going with this? I'm going to send him a picture of someone else's penis.
There, there was a Dodge ad. So they chose to take audio from a Martin Luther King Jr. speech and lay it over just your very standard inspirational footage of Americans doing dirty work.
Mm-hmm. And trucks just slogging through the mud.
And the speech was essentially about, like, if you want to be great, you have to work hard and serve. Be a servant, which is a great message, actually.
Yeah.
You know, serve
and,
other people.
And if Dr. Martin Luther King... hearing him speak wasn't dramatic enough. You add like cinematic scoring. You're even
right.
like,
right.
It's like, wild.
Laying it on thick.
Yeah. The thickest possible.
I mean, it's so common for people to co-opt any message like that. Like, I mean, you could even go back to a couple of years ago. I was really annoyed when there, I think it was like an Always commercial where they're like, fight like a girl, where it's like
right.
the most convenient marketable version of feminism of like, what if a girl, but punching? Yeah. And it's just like, and at the time people were like, revolutionary, we love this. What if a girl, but punching? And it's just, oh God, this seems like in that vein of just
very
like
much in that 100. Vein. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Dodge, Miles, as you pointed out, Dodge is probably,
combating
been a little
negative
extra
press.
Because, they were the car company that, this vehicle was driven into a crowd of people in Charlottesville.
Maybe so they should put that underneath that shit.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But you can rehab your image.
So the internet responded to this by finding a speech from – was it the same
speech? That's the same speech. They just cherry-picked it to be this
right.
thing.
So Dodge had cherry-picked it to sound like it was a speech about America's greatness that could go over a clip of a bunch of, you know, white people doing farm work in muddy conditions. And so somebody found audio from that same speech that addresses that comes with a very different message. So first we're going to hear some audio from the ad as Dodge presented it, and then we're going to hear the audio from the actual speech unedited.
So this is the commercial.
If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. We are so often
questioned
by advertisers. You know, those gentlemen of massive verbal persuasion. And they have a way of saying things to you that kind of gets you in the bind. In order to make your neighbors envious, you must drive this type of car.
Dodge
in
Ram.
Order to be lovely to love, you must wear this kind of lipstick or this kind of perfume. Mm. And you know, before you know it, you're just buying that stuff. And I've got to drive this car because it's something about this car that makes my car a little better than my neighbor's car. And I am sad to say that the nation in which we live is the supreme culprit. And I'm going to continue to say it to America.
Wow. That is nothing like... It's just him being like, fuck capitalism and consumer culture.
Yeah.
His estate had to approve the use of that.
Right.
But it's interesting because it was Bernice King and I think the King Center. They were not actually involved with okaying that. It was actually his son who actually gave the okay to that. So there's even some conflict within the MLK camp over how that was all done because his son like controls like how his likeness is used.
Yeah. But this is part of a larger problem of like a really safe anesthetized version of Dr. Martin Luther King that comes down to us from like history and you know, our textbooks and quotes from, you know, Republican politicians on Martin Luther King Day and the actual reality of things.
Yeah, that's why it feels like such a shitty move to do. Like,
right. All addressing of economic inequality has been just scrubbed from his message. And
well,
in
yeah.
fact, once he started
talking
about
that
he mysteriously was assassinated. So not mysterious. I mean, we know who did it, but you know. So that was kind of
that's
the
that most bummer
remarkable.
Section about commercials.
Yeah. We have a bunch of celebrating from the city of Philadelphia to cover. But first we're going to take a quick break. And we're back. And Philadelphia, you guys, what a town. They have been rioting, but it's being called in the media celebrating because white people, I guess.
Mostly white people.
Yeah,
so,
mostly
yeah.
white people. But we've got some more highlights from the Philadelphia Police Department scanner.
Ooh.
So
in the aftermath of that win, yeah.
Yeah.
Predictably.
I like that this is one of the first highlights that we have is a cop saying, "It's endless, chief, endless." Like a fucking World War One,
yeah,
like infantry
waves of like
dragging around a trench foot. Yeah, yeah.
The enemy hordes—they're endless, Chief. It's endless.
The next quote we've got is: "I got people coming up the ramps on 676 eastbound. I don't have a clue how they're getting up. Should I go up to get those people off 676? I don't have a—I don't know where they're coming from.
People just walking onto the freeway.
I got four stories above the Wawa. We got people
Wawa
out on the ledge. Can't tell how they came up."
Oh, you have the Philadelphia accent.
Again, they're just like, they can't tell where people are coming from. This one, by this point, this next one, this is like about a half hour into the riot. We have a cop who just sounds like disappointed. He says, "They're on top of the trash trucks. There is to be no one on top of trash trucks, guys." It's just like,
and I think one of them was like spray painted eagles, like one of the white trash trucks. They're just wilding out on top of the trash truck.
We have multiple people on Broad Street swinging on light poles. A man jumped off the light pole and landed on his head. All direct quotes.
And that's despite them putting all that hydraulic grease on the light poles. And yeah, I'm telling you, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you got to celebrate, you're going to find a way to do that.
It's true. Have you guys ever been living in a city when a team won?
Oh, yeah. The Lakers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lived in Boston for 5 years, and
yeah.
I win a lot of stuff, and you got to go underground. It's
really?
It's like the Purge.
I literally would go under. I would never go outside.
You, like, board your windows up. You're like, yeah, they might win tonight.
So it's too – when the Red Sox won a couple of years ago, I literally went underground.
Like
were
into
you living
a basement?
In Boston?
I was living in Boston, and I worked in a radio station that was like in a basement. I was like, we got to go down there. Nowhere is safe.
Yeah, this probably isn't that much different than, I guess the Patriots fans are kind of over it. That's why it was sort of sounded like a home game.
Well, this
Eagles.
Is what the other thing too, like even when the Red Sox won, it was like 2004. Was that when they finally broke the streak. It's like very, you know, people got a lot of shit to get out because it's like it finally happened. But it's weird because even as we like laugh about this, like part of me just feels shitty because like when you look at a lot of the coverage, it's still calling it celebrating when there's like massive destruction of property happening.
Violence,
and
yeah.
You know, like you just take like any kind of protest for like a Black Lives Matter thing, you have full on riot police. And like they're like these thugs or whatever, and then even with this thing, you could see the cops are like on bicycle, like they're on their bikes, just kind of being like high fiving the protesters and shit like that.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess contextually, we when it's sports, it feels like less menacing, but if it's peaceful protesting and or you know a couple people get out of hand,
right,
full scale thuggery,
right,
right.
But you know, at least there were people doing God's work yesterday.
Right.
I wonder what was happening in Boston. I'm sure that people were also climbing things and eating poo, but that's just a day.
UMass Amherst, there was a actual like giant brawl where people got arrested.
UMass Amherst is a disgraceful place. It's a disgraceful place. It's where dignity goes to die.
Yeah, I think the number one takeaway from the riot/celebration was the guy who ate poo, as you just mentioned. He was like, dare me to eat poo? And everyone's like, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Better poo than
he's
a
like,
Tide Pod.
Nobody wants me to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I was like,
you guys are crazy.
Because videos, there's like a massive pile of horse shit, and people are cheering, and he just gets down on all fours and I guess just takes a bite of shit.
Right.
I don't.
For the team.
Right.
It's what the boys want.
Everyone was like, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, y'all dare me to eat this shit? No, man.
No, don't do it,
oh,
Greg.
What? Oh, here we go. What? Eagles. Oh, I'm eat this shit. This is weird. Like, what?
Yeah.
What's
he clearly
that
went
like
in. That's like Tarantino with the choking. This guy clearly went in wanting to eat a piece of horse poop.
Yeah.
He's just always wondered what it would taste
like. He probably just goes to cities that have won sports things, and he's like, whoa, what's up, Houston? You guys just won the World Series. Gosh, man, y'all dare me to eat this horse shit?
Wouldn't it be crazy if I... He, like, mails a horse shit to himself frozen, heats it up, brings
leaves
it out.
There, and then he's like,
it's like, must be a police horse?
Yeah.
Are there police horses
they're
in
like,
the city?
No, it's too cold for police horses.
Yeah, you mind if I stick my face into this shit? Anyone?
Just eat it?
Anyone?
I mean, it's funny. Like, what's the deal? Like, when you eat shit to celebrate,
right?
Yeah, I mean, how do you? I don't know. Maybe you have just like a nice meal alone when you suffer a failure. You right. take yourself out and have a good night.
But when your city's team wins, finally.
Just debase yourself.
Stay humble. Stay humble, fam.
I think it's a testament to the wonders of alcohol and how fun alcohol can be in the right circumstances. but also, yeah, that guy can't be feeling great today.
No.
I was wondering, like, if it had been anything, like, just like maybe 10% less gross, he would probably be like horse poo guy on the Today Show and like stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
that's sad. Yeah.
Too much.
He will not get any real mainstream love for right. being the guy who ate the horse shit after the Eagles won. He will be someone that people will remember
He'll
in a bar
in
probably
history,
later.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was the guy that ate the horse shit after right. the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
There will be so many people from Philly claiming that.
Right. Or to know that. It's like, right. that was my cousin.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, as you were pointing out, Miles, like there. So we also have a couple police scanner highlights that, if this had been like any other demonstration, would have been a totally different story. It would be like the nation is in crisis. Do you have medics over here coming to 17th and Lombard? We have a female here who was assaulted. We have a light pole down on the east side of Macy's Corner. We have live wires. I've got somebody jumping on top of fire trucks now.
We have a large crowd throwing bottles and chanting Meek Mill. Yeah. I like how they had to call that out.
Like,
yeah. I mean, look, but free that man.
Right.
Yeah.
Free Meek Mill.
It's just, yeah. I mean, like, you think there was even like a footage of them, I think in like a convenience store, like just looting and shit. They like busted open a T-Mobile store. And yeah, I guess in the context of like sports, it's just they want to call it celebrating.
Yeah. I mean, there was that truly remarkable footage of the guy doing like backflips on the
Ritz-Carlton awning.
Ritz-Carlton awning. Like apparently those are buoyant or those like are bouncy because he was just like doing fucking
it was
crazy
weird. There was
backflips.
Like some spring in it.
It was like, wait, why is like he got so drunk he became like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
And then he like did a trust fall off of one of them, off of an awning and apparently survived. I don't know. We haven't
Looks
heard
like
of
it.
A body count coming.
But then
out
a bunch of people
yet.
Got on that shit and then it collapsed.
It all collapsed, yeah.
That looked a little scary.
And it was scary as shit, man. That is like one of those videos that would be on the local news, like, and five died as a thing collapsed. But
yeah, luckily it was like a slow collapse, right. So it wasn't like a violent, like it just came out from under them sort of collapse. But anyway.
This is probably irresponsible to mention, but we were remarking at Cracked one time that people often survive long falls when they're really drunk. Like,
oh,
for
yeah,
some
like
reason,
even people
being,
in car wrecks, too.
Yeah, for some reason, being drunk, like, makes you better at surviving, maybe because you, like, don't tense up. So maybe that's what saved the city of Philadelphia, is they were all so drunk when they were sustaining these injuries that it just, like,
yeah, like, wasn't one of them said the guy's like, well, we need an ambulance. A guy just fell on his head from a pole.
Yeah,
like,
fell off a light pole and landed directly on his head.
Genuine question. How do you prevent stuff? Like, how do you take preventive measures
that,
for something
I
like
mean,
that?
I think that was impossible.
Yeah.
That was happening.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's just like gonna
I guess, like, happen. If you can't grease a light pole, like, I guess put down, like, foam padding all over the street.
Right.
So make it easier to fall on.
Just treat the city like a bunch of babies all night, basically.
Right.
Yeah,
baby-proof
the city.
Turn the power off so there's no live wires
right.
for people to
right,
electrify
right.
themselves with.
I mean...
Yeah, why? That's a good idea. Just shut down the power to the whole city.
Yeah.
I mean that it would just become...
That could be bad.
Yeah.
That'll become the purge,
right,
where it's like
exactly.
there's no power and you have a lot of
the Middle Ages.
Drunk people.
And then, I mean, quick politics update that we can just only mention what happened. But, you know, we talked about the memo on Friday and a bunch of Republican representatives went on the Sunday shows to basically... So the president tweeted over the weekend first, I should say, saying that the memo proves the Mueller investigation is, like, baseless and, you know, totally...
I think he referred to himself with quotations.
Right.
He said, did.
This shows that Trump, quote-unquote, is innocent or something like that, or exonerates me or whatever the fuck
totally.
He's trying to say.
Irresponsible use of 280.
Yeah. But, you know, even the people that went on the Sunday shows who were Republican members of the House Intel Committee who drafted the memo, no one was pushing the, well, now we got to fire Rod Rosenstein thing. They were like, this has nothing to do with Robert Mueller's investigation, and this doesn't, like, dossier or not, the Russians still meddled in our elections. So that was interesting to see from this group of people who put out this bullshit memo, because clearly I think they want to distance themselves from Devin Nunes
right,
to a certain extent, because he looks like a total asshole right now.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just a question of whether they are, you know, going to let this memo just be a thing that happened and move on, or if it's one of those things, as it has trended up to this point, where Republicans at first say the right sane thing and then like sort of get gravitationally sucked into the president's sort of orbit and universe.
Well, yeah, they're voting today to see whether or not they want to release the Democratic version, or as we call it, reality. So we'll see what happens there.
Right.
What else? Oh, Chris Coons and John McCain, they just introduced a bipartisan bill for immigration. Because remember, that's still something we have to take care of, because there could be another fucking shutdown because we were too busy talking about all this other shit. But yeah, their bill is actually, you know, it would grant permanent legal status to the Dreamers who got here, or who have been here since 2013 or earlier. And doesn't actually touch any of the other shit like legal, like family-based legal migration or the diversity lottery. So it's like definitely not the one Trump wants. And as he said, he's like, there has to be something for the wall. They don't really have anything in there for the wall, but there is some kind of bipartisan movement for this, but we'll see. You know, we won't really know until it gets closer.
Right. We were all too busy out there eating horse shit to notice.
I know, God.
We have all been about there.
Can you juxtapose that? Like, if some shit really goes bad, like, and this really ends up being like a turning point in the country, it's like, we were too busy eating horse shit to realize that our freedoms were being
literally
severely
curtailed.
Literally
about a year and a half. Can I just say, if women were allowed to eat Doritos, we wouldn't be eating horse shit all the time. But was round.
Because horse shit is not crunchy.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Yes.
As always, it's been a pleasure. Where can people find you?
Internet? You can find me on Twitter.com at hamburgerphone. You can listen to my podcast, The Bechdel Cast.
So good.
And you can slide into the comments and maybe I'll see it on accident and request
and
money.
Get charged.
And you'll get charged for harassing me.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And if you hurry, you might be able to see some of that Super Bowl footage on my stories.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. You know how search terms work. Just put Daily Zeitgeist into that box. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the articles that we used as sources for this episode. And that's going to do it for today. Miles, do you have a song you're going to be playing us out on?
Yeah, I want to play... This is a song by Tall Black Guy. That's an artist called Love to the World.
The artist is called...
Tall Black Guy.
Uh-huh.
The description... And his artist name. And yes, love to the world, because right now, you know, let's just send some love to the world. And, you know, to the Dodge ad people, man, go figure yourselves out.
All right. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.